This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with Mook Delivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Signing number 3 is through the door, and finally it's a forward. Ali Al-Mohammadi signs from AFC Wimbledon, and we're here to discuss it. This is the Blue Monday podcast. Hello and welcome to a live reaction special here at Blue Monday. We're going live on YouTube for as long as you folks out there want us to be. And if you're listening to this on podcast audio, you can know that the chat was good enough because we thought it was good enough to upload as a podcast. So welcome back 24 hours later after the flagship show. A little mini reunion for Dave Diamond, Joe Fares and myself. Let's get immediate reaction. Dave will go in order of the screen. Your instant reaction to the signing?
Yeah, positive. I think news first sort of broke of Al-Mohammadi last week, maybe a little bit, maybe 10 days ago. Obviously, he didn't play against us in the cup game, as that was the beginning. He was just gone away with Iraq back then. 21 doesn't take up any sort of space in our squad. Is it the rule, Joe, that he was under 21 at the start of the season? Is that where the cut off?
It's January the 1st. He was 21.
Okay, yeah. Seemingly all good. I mean, had an interesting life to date, which no doubt we'll get onto. But yeah, it was quite clearly he's been ripping it up in League Two so far. So far this season, after a really good end to last season. So yeah, all good. Young, pacey, quite tall, 6'2". Listened to the NTT20 pod earlier on, and that was quite interesting. You know, they were saying, well, no, you shouldn't really be comparing. It was different views on him, actually. One was sort of saying, well, if they're trying to compare him to George Hurst, there isn't really a comparison because they don't see him as a back-to-goal, hold-the-ball-up striker. But, yeah, certainly the other guy on there was very effusive in his praise and thinks that, you know, he can obviously, he's got further attributes. So, yeah, all good win-win as far as I can see.
Yep. Joe, it's always a positive sign when pundits who have no skin in the game go out of their way to talk positively about a signing. And there's a lot of positive reports from AFC Wimbledon. But as Dave said, further afield, it must give everyone a little bit of confidence because he's a raw prospect. Let's put it that way. He'll probably get first team action because maybe a lack of options. Obviously, high pedigree in terms of coming through at Swansea and so on. But It's not the full package yet, is he?
No, and he's one that's been sort of picked up by all the sort of data darlings of the scene. sort of NTT20, they did the top transfers to look out from January, and he was like, this guy will be the biggest story of the month. And it was Scouted Football did, we need to find 3 players of this profile using the data with regards to physical data that they've signed a new partnership with, and he was the one that came out and as a striker. There was The Athletic, the best players to watch in the EFL this month, and it was him there. The players who were at the Asia Cup, and again, it's him. He's someone that has got a hell of a lot of hype about him, and I think every club has been looking at him one way or another. And it sounds like, from what I gather, we just sort of stole a march on them. I don't think anyone expected him to be moving in in January. I think with the Asia Cup, I think people expected him to be going in the summer window. And that's when AFC Wimbledon expected to sell him. But we just got in there. We've had, it sounds like McKenna's been speaking to him for a couple of weeks from his chat with Town TV, with Marcus Nash at Town TV. I know, and I think you mentioned Sam Morsey's been speaking to him a lot to try and get him in that side. And it just feels, like I say, it just feels like we've just stolen the march. And by the time everyone realised, yeah, this was going to happen in January, but they've tried to get involved in the transfer at too late a stage. And like I say, we've just been out there ahead of them, and sort of we've got the deal done almost on the sly.
Yeah, it stole a march and in desperate need of one as well. Dave, we'll come back to you in a second. I'm just going to say hello to folk in the chat. Give us your thoughts, obviously, on this one. If you're an AFC Wimbledon fan who's been drawn to our channel as well, really keen to get your views too. But let's start with Darren. I think this is good. Team will get him on track with our way of playing. He'll be a good fit for what we want. Stuart rightly spotted that the transfer bell had tolled. We put the graphic up as well. Ian, looking forward to some positiveness after Saturday's result. We could have done with that yesterday. We could have been talking about that yesterday, but hey-ho, we're back here 24 hours later, as we say. Michael, exciting news. Will he push us on? Remember our Jan signing last year? Interesting context there. Also, a little bit of shades, perhaps, of signing towards the end of the summer window last year as well. I'll talk more about that later on. Dan's with us as well. Paul is here. Gary's here. Norman, really pleased with this signing. His potential to become a top player. Another bonus is his age. He won't take up one of the 25 squad places yet. A lot of that logistics-wise, very important there. Romeo's finally over shock of Saturday. We're still talking about that, folks. Baron Andreas is here. Gary, a good deal for Town. Look where Vardy started from and is now definitely a potential signing. Absolutely. With the potential, obviously, to make an impact straight away. With definitely a view to the future on this one. Barnaby, it's funny how knowing other clubs are interested somehow makes it better. Do you think other clubs overlook players but suddenly doubt themselves if a respected party becomes interested? Joe, you were talking a little bit about that. Do you want to take that one? Do you think clubs overlook players, but suddenly a little bit of interest from a team like Ipswich and suddenly there's a queue forming, perhaps?
I think it's more that everyone was aware of him, but they just didn't expect him to be going now. So people have been putting their feelers in place for the summer windows and looking to see how he carries on in the second half of the season. And then all of a sudden, the deal's at 9 out of 10 and they've got to try and catch up from there and weren't able to. But yeah, he's a player that every club has looked at. Like, I'm sure not everyone would have signed him, but it sounded like from the EADT, there was even a Premier League club that came in and showed interest in him. And at the fee, so I think it's talk sort of around 1.5 million there. So we don't know where it is. It's undisclosed. It's sort of somewhere between £1 and £2 million. But ultimately, with the profile he's got, he's the sort of player that if he comes in and hits the ground running or does well over the course of a long contract that he signed, he's going to be worth a hell of a lot of money with his sort of attributes.
Yeah, well, it's a valued commodity, isn't it? We need to mention, for those listening or watching after the fact, we are recording live whilst Blackburn Wrexham is happening and people are keeping us posted on one Sam Gallagher. I don't know why, guys. It's not come up at all in the past about our interest in Sam Gallagher, but apparently he's got assists for Sammy Smodic. George, should we quickly deal with this one? Are we reading anything into the fact that he's in the team tonight for Blackburn or not?
He's also scored since that assist.
Oh, he's scored as well?
Yeah, he's got a chat
moving too fast for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, do we read anything into it?
No, I don't think so.
Well, we have our sort of secret squirrels in the Telegram group that are keeping us up to date with the movements re Sam Gallagher. And so we're all aware of what his situation is. And from what we've been told, him starting doesn't make any difference as to whether he'll be definitely going or definitely staying, but we will find out in the next day or so whether he is definitely going if he's definitely staying or there's a chance that he goes. And if there's a chance that he goes, expect us to fly into that deal and really push to get it over the line.
I guess
the
other significant thing for Blackburn tonight is, if you believe the rumour, is Adam Wharton isn't starting, is he? He's on the bench, I think, tonight. Apparently, to see perhaps Chelsea coming in with some
big reportedly money,
preparing some ridiculous bid, perhaps.
Yeah.
On the back of, I think it was Palace last. I think, did I read Palace last week was supposed to be 15 million. Obviously, Chelsea apparently 25 million. Which,
of course, it is.
I think
Palace were 18.5 and they said
more than that. Okay.
Yeah, and Blackburn said they want 25, so that's what Bristol City got for Alex Scott, so that's what they've set the asking price as. So
I mean, I think the general consensus also was that perhaps he might, if he did move this window, it would be perhaps to a Championship club, with a bit like the Josh Stokes deal, where he would be loaned back for the rest of the season. But yeah, in our position, we need him now, don't we?
We need all the bodies in the building we can
get. In the building.
Daryl mentions Brighton, Brentford. A few people making similar remarks on social media about the kind of feel of this signing, you know, in terms of a player trading type move. Daryl says, raw talented, very much looks like a Brighton/Brentford signing from a few years back. Still need another in my view, of course, but definitely one McKenna can develop and mould. Well, Dave, go on.
You know, looking at him, actually, it's a very good, Brentford mentioned there. I mean, looking at him, I mean, obviously this lad's gone to the very top, but he has got the look of a kind of an Ollie Watkins type in build and pace and strength about him, hasn't he? So, yeah, maybe that's not such a, well, hopefully it is an accurate, maybe potentially an accurate comparison, because that would be pretty damn good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah. One of the things that was noted, I noted about Scouted Football picking him out, and what they picked out was his physicality, effectively, and they showed him on the sort of cross chart of where he sits with League Two strike, and he's just out on his own, nowhere, no one near him for all the sort of physical metrics, sprinting, sprint distance, number of sprints, that side of stuff. And then they plotted him onto a Premier League chart of it. Matrix, and he's, even on the Premier League matrix, he's still in that slightly above average as a Premier League physical player. And you think if you're scoring goals in League Two, so you're talking like an Ollie Watkins and Ivan Toney, players that have scored goals at a low level, but also have the physicality to sort of go further. And I'm sure the physical guys from that league has probably been Thomas Asante, who's now at West Brom, Adebayo, who's now at Luton, showed the physicality. But he's shown that with goals alongside it. So he's such an exciting prospect. But you just hope we can get someone else to, so he's not lumbered with all the pressure on for the end of the season.
Yeah. Shall I give you a bit of a fact file? Fact file. So 21 years old, as we said, he's 22 in March. Born in Iraq, moved to Liverpool only aged one. Eventually joined Tranmere's youth system and was involved, I think, behind the scenes for Liverpool and Everton, but never really featured for them. A two-year scholarship with Swansea then followed. Had a trial with Derby County for a while, scored in the Premier League under-23s league against Norwich. So that endeared him to me straight away. Joined Wickham on an 18-month contract, scored one goal in 13 appearances and three goals in 13 appearances in a loan move to Bromley in 21-22. Permanent move to AFC Wimbledon this time last year, and has subsequently gone on to score 27 goals in 48 appearances. This season, 13 goals and 6 assists in 23 appearances. And has also 12 caps for Iraq, scoring 3 goals and out there at the moment. It's the African Cup of Nations. I always get it mixed up which one it is. Was it the Asia Cup?
Asia Cup.
Asia Cup, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's knocked out today, didn't they?
And he wasn't in the team.
Late goals. Yeah, I saw that.
So conspiracy theories. But yeah, a great thing about Twitter these days, in as much as there's a lot of crap stuff about Twitter, but a lot of stats accounts and even the EFL account putting out graphics like this one, 13 goals, 6-6-6 right foot goals, guys, 7 left foot goals, 11 from inside the box, 38 shots on target, 76% passing accuracy. But for the calendar year 2023, pretty much like Ipswich, he was ripping up chaps. This is from Playmaker Stats, 29 goal contributions. Is the highest from anyone in the top 4 tiers aged 21 or under. And in that company, Jay Stansfield, Jezeran Rucksacki, Jorginho Ruta, Jadon Philogene, Louis Barry, almost double what Jay Stansfield managed to achieve in his appearances for Exeter and Birmingham last season. I've also dug out some foot mob stats. I briefly put it up on the screen as well for the stat lovers there. But this, where it's green, it shows his rank against a favourable rank against players in the same level. So for goals, all of these attacking stats, even passing stats, far exceeding his peers at League Two level. And similarly, even for possession, tackles won as well, duels won, showing that physical side as well. So on paper, guys, and obviously no, we can make as many judgments as we want on paper. It's what happens on the pitch that counts. Clearly, high potential player. The question is, Dave, are you expecting an immediate impact? It took him a month to get his first goal for Wimbledon.
It's going to be hard to make the jump. But looking at those stats and everything about him and what's been said about him, he looks like he's got every chance. I think, yeah, every Town fan will be looking forward to seeing him play. Goodness me, yeah.
Do we know Joe's been expertly batting away rumours or half-truths or misunderstandings of the rules. Matt asks a pretty pertinent question. Do we expect him to be in the squad for Preston now Iraq are out of the Asia Cup? We know that he's not going to be number nine, Joe, because you tell us?
Because Freddie Ladapo is still registered to the club, we can't move on the number nine shirt to anyone else.
So and thank you for correcting everybody who was... Conspiracy, the tin hats were on, number nine still available, but no, can't be reassigned. Do we know anything about whether he can be involved to Matt's question on Saturday?
Yeah, he can be involved. I assume they'll quickly be getting out of Qatar from the Asia Cup. I'd imagine he'll be on his way home by now. Now they're at the tournament, they just want to get straight back, don't they? So it's just a case of getting in and... sort of just getting him in the squad, just trying to get him up to speed with regards to how we play. You'd imagine he's not going to play a huge amount. He's not going to be starting at the weekend. They're going to want him there. But the squad, we have a lack of striking options. So I'd be amazed if he isn't on the bench at the weekend. There'd be something sort of seriously amiss if he's not on the bench at the weekend, because he's going to be coming straight in. And ultimately, he's going to be ahead of Jared Buabo, who's probably close to being on the bench, or Shawnee Aluko or some of those lines. He's going to be in, and you're going to want to try and get him involved, give him some time on the pitch, try and get him up to speed, because that's the quickest way he's going to learn. And you've just got to not chuck him in at the deep end. But like I say, the ideal scenario, which we all want, is a Sam Gallagher type striker to come in. He'd be the one that sort of plays the 60-70 minutes, and Al Hamdi be the one that plays the 20-30 minutes at the other end, and both get up to speed that way.
Yeah, you can imagine that Mark Ashton's chartering the private jet right now, and probably take Elkin Baggett back with him as well, can't they? They can share it. You were making a point here, Dave. I assume, like a lot of us, you've probably been looking at goal compilations online. In his highlight reel, there are a couple of goals that are very George Hursty, says Ewan, holding off his man and banging it in. Can't wait to see him in action. I mean, that physicality feels like a must for any player that's going to play the starting position for under McKenna.
Yeah, we're certainly lacking that now, aren't we? Particularly after letting Ladapo go, we're certainly lacking that. So, like Joe said, I'd be very surprised. Well, he missed the game, smokescreen, whatever it was, with a sort of minor back injury or something, didn't he? So hopefully there's not a lot in that. And as Joe said, he'll be fit and able to take his place on the bench Saturday, because I think we're all excited to certainly see him.
Interesting thought from Kevin here as well, reminding us of all the players that have star strikers who have come through from the lower leagues. He mentions Ian Rush from Chester City, Kevin Keegan from Scunthorpe. Vardy's obviously the poster boy for that kind of thing as well. But it does feel like every now and then there is a player that goes up through the leagues like lightning quick. And this guy feels like, I think probably the thing that jumps out most for me, Dave, is attitude. Clearly, you know, really challenging upbringing, probably a bit young maybe to know the seriousness of the situation that he grew up in.
Yeah.
Because when you look at the actual story of it, I think his father was a Democratic protester who got put in prison. He was released out of prison, but sort of sent over to England as part of being released from prison because his life was in danger out there. And then him and his mum moved to Jordan, which I think most people went to from the war. And then they moved over to England to meet up his father. And he didn't meet his father until he was sort of nearly 18 months old. Was the first time that he'd met him because of all that situation. So yeah, it's a real sort of, harrowing almost upbringing, is it, when you look at it like that? But they come here, and I listened to a podcast from today, Leave No Doubt. So once people have finished listening to this, that was a really good listen. I think Connor Chapman's been on in the past. He talks about his story, and he sounds such a motivated guy, such a real keen to learn, really coachable, and someone that this chance isn't going to pass him by.
No, yeah, and spoke really well, didn't he? Obviously, Town TV interview with Marcus, we've talked about briefly there, but seemed to have a really great attitude in terms of paying respect for AFC Wimbledon, because, you know, you look at, it's fair to say, and there's a few people, you know, Carnival Nations put this in the chat, are we at risk putting too much hype on 21-year-old? I mean, he talked quite eloquently about wanting that pressure, and he's deserved his chance. But, you know, we have to give, you know, be a little bit patient in the fact that, you know, prior to this Wimbledon spell, which has been electric the last year or so, he's not had it easy, or not seemingly excelled to a great extent at Wickham or Swansea, perhaps.
And I think we've got.
I think he left Swansea, I think, to try and find a better move, and he ended up on trial at like Bournemouth, Nottingham Forest, Derby, a few clubs there. So it seemed it was a mutual leaving. I don't know, it's very difficult to work out what's gone on there, but yeah, he did bounce around a lot there, and so he's sort of finally found a home, and even that's only lasted a year now before he's moved up. So he seems to be a guy in a hurry, doesn't he?
He's the new Marcus Bent. No, he's not, Dave, but talk to what we don't know a great deal about him, but what can you kind of pick up from his attitude and what you've heard in interviews that gives you...
Yeah, obviously, incredibly, given his background, you know, incredibly motivated young man, isn't he? Came over really honest, speaks really honestly, and just wants, you know, 21, perhaps it's come perhaps early for him. You know, this move has perhaps come almost out of the, not out of the blue as such, but, you know, you couldn't have dreamed this a year ago when he signed on a free from Wickham. So, you know, these, you know, lad like him, young, hungry, yeah, just as I said, I think it's just a win-win for both of us. He has a, you know, he's a success with us. You know, he's so young enough, and all these attributes. Yeah, everyone's looking for a striker of that mould, aren't they? In that mould, so all the attributes he's got going for him. I mean, his ceiling could go anywhere, couldn't it? Really.
Yep, another one here for the strikers through the lower league ranks. Trevor Wymart says it's Stan O'Boy from Diss. There you go, he is more to...
Clive Woods came from Oliver side as well.
Also mentioned the last striker we got from Wimbledon, mitigating circumstances, perhaps. It's 3-1 Blackburn Rovers at halftime. That was quite a turnaround. There you go, I'm moving on. We're not talking about the FA Cup. Martin sounds more like a Jackson type than a Hurst. I guess maybe, but 6'2", physical, can play back to goal. He's not too dissimilar to George Hurst, is he, Joe?
I think he, like I say, his pace and his running ability is his main strength at the moment. But he's got the size frame and the sort of body to do a bit more of the back to goal stuff. But as with most strikers, that's something that comes as they get older and play more games in their career. Even someone like George Hurst is, what, 24, 25 now, and it's taken him until now to really start putting it all together to be able to play that way. So, yeah, when he comes in, he's more someone that's going to give you that incredible running power up front, where we have our striker pressing 25, 30 yards vertically across the pitch, or horizontally across the pitch, I should say, just back and forth working the centre backs. So that is going to be his main strengths in the initial phases. But yeah, I'm sure he will learn to be able to use his body better as his career goes. And yeah, he's probably somewhere between sort of Jackson and Hurst at the moment.
Paul Mariner is the next on the list. Graham, our resident Plymouth fan, I think. Plymouth got Mariner from Nonny Chorley. And if you're looking for a pre-match venue, by the way, ahead of Preston, there's a pub in Chorley that's got a Paul Mariner shirt. They've been ever present on the ITFC timeline, but it looks like they've got plenty of pre-match excitement lined up. So if you're heading up that way on Saturday, do check them out. We've retweeted. Nick mentioning, presumably this is about Al Hamadi, that wanted to get game time because he wants to show what he has. Don't mind what happened before AFC Wimbledon, really. Fair point. It is kind of, you know, in this era of stats, guys, isn't it? We kind of look for the numbers, but sometimes it's what they do. It's the decisions they make that's probably more telling, and we're not particularly insightful on that. Football Head 7, John Walters from Chester, 200K made a huge impact as well. Get your questions in for the guys. We'll stick around as long as you folks have got questions for us. I kind of feel like we're edging towards exhausting our conversation with Al Hamadi unless the guys have got anything more to say. Just to mention, obviously, that if more business gets done, and we're hoping it does, if it happens before Thursday, depending on team availability, we'll do another one of these. But otherwise, we'll save them all up. And as we mentioned on Sunday night, Joe and Craig will be adorning their yellow, well, adorned in yellow, to mark the yeah, sad nice. Passing, the sad closing of the transfer window, which I bloody hate. So join us Thursday for that. We need to figure out a config of shows. We'll also be doing the pre-match show for Preston as well, so keep a lookout for there. Sunday flagship show at usually 8 p.m. And also at the moment, we've got a bit of a promo with NordVPN, courtesy of our participation in the fans network at TalkSport. If you go to nordvpn.com/Blue Monday, we've got a discount for you. I don't know what it is. It figures out a discount for you. Apparently it's very generous, and we get a nice referral as well, so everybody wins. So if you're planning a trip, digital trip for the weekend, I don't know where you might want to go, Amsterdam perhaps, why not get a NordVPN package courtesy of us? nordvpn.com/Blue Monday.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect you while online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Let's see what we've got in the chat. Oh, hello. Here's Paul Westlake, one of the Telegram VIPs. How many in? How many out, guys? Asks Paul.
Well, we're at the full squad limit of 25, aren't we? So whatever comes in will need to go out. So you'd imagine Brandon Williams is probably going to be on his way out, and if he is, there will be a need for a replacement fullback because we are short in that position. And then it's the striker role, isn't it? We are desperately trying to get another striker, which will probably lay into some of the other questions about putting too much pressure on a 21-year-old. And if we get him in, then it's, I don't know, I guess there's a few candidates likely to go out. I guess maybe Don Ball, Janoi Donashian, Lee Evans, all people whose contracts are up this season who aren't really, for one reason or another, playing. Or there's Shawnee Aluko is a fourth member of that sort of the quartet of the players I'd say are most likely to be the ones on the way out.
So you're 3 out, 2 in is your...
I'd say two and two.
Striker
and a fullback.
Any higher than two?
Another two in, I'd really still be surprised if we got another striker in. I'd honestly be surprised if it happens.
You're not
now,
feeling optimistic?
No, I'm not. Not really. No,
talk
no.
To us but about
I think
it.
Perhaps we'll get the therapy. Full. I think perhaps. I'm really not sure if it will happen now, but I think we'll perhaps get the fullback in. That's for sure. And yeah, as Joe Marvin said, Johnson. Probably mean two out.
Do you not think? I guess it feels like it's been a break glass in case of emergency type deal. Is Kiefer Moore not the one? I think Cardiff signed a €4 million striker, didn't they?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
I think they've been French club have just gazumped them on that apparently.
Ooh, okay, fine. So that may change things. And obviously Sunderland, I think, are going back in for Ahmad Diallo, aren't they? So that'll be interesting because those are the we seem to be shopping in the same market as Sunderland. But Dave, are you not feeling that if Gallagher doesn't happen, Kiefer Moore will?
No, I don't think so. I just don't think he will. I mean, I don't think because I think they want a fee. Ultimately, Bournemouth are looking for a fee for him, aren't they? And I just don't see us paying. What would he be? 3, 4? I don't know. I just don't see us paying that. So, yeah, perhaps if as a backup, if we can get him as a loan, if they're willing to let him go as a loan, then fine. But it's been dragging on so long, and time is. I know. Look, it's deadline day, and things go as we know. Things go down to the last minute, but I'm just not feeling it. I don't think.
Okay, well, I'm hope lower your expectations. You won't be disappointed, will you? So, exactly. I'm hopeful you've got excitement to come, Dave. I think all of us are, frankly.
It sounds like sort of from talks of a couple of Blackburn pods I listened to today, and Kings of Anglia as well mentioned it, that effectively they've targeted Jerry Yates as the guy they want to replace Sam Gallagher. If they can get him in, Sam Gallagher will probably go. If they can't, they won't. They want him on loan. Swansea want to sell him permanently. So, there's.
It's like buying a house.
A bit of back and forth on that. But I personally think we'll get Gallagher. And if we don't, I think we'll get more. But I think we'll get him.
Wow.
Or we'll go for him, but it will be only on a loan. I don't think anyone's going to pay what Bournemouth want for him now. And I don't think it's worth them keeping him. I've heard the teams interested is Watford and Cardiff at the moment. Us, Watford and Cardiff for the free in for him. But he's obviously one that we're... got on the back burner, so to speak. So I guess it's difficult to bring someone from the back burner forward if there's somebody that are making him their number one target. And like the way we are with sort of Al Hamady, where we've been speaking to him for weeks, getting the deal lined up, you can't just jump in and gazump those deals.
No. And Kiefer Moore knows sloppy seconds as well, won't he? Go on, Joe.
No, I'd absolutely. If we could get Moore on loan, a fantastic experience strike, I'd take him. Very much taken.
We've not heard any more on Williams. Ed's asking about Brendan Williams. We don't know.
Johnny Williams. No.
Johnny Williams back.
Surely that ship sailed. Surely.
Is he still at Swindon? Doing really well, I think, isn't he? Down at Swindon?
Last time I checked. Sure. He was last time. I know.
We don't know. I think that'll need to be resolved certainly before Thursday, won't it?
Brendan Williams, I think, is. It looks like his time is done here, doesn't it?
Sad, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It really is because, wow, that promise he showed early part of the season when he broke to the side was unbelievable, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, we've not really seen him. I know he's played a couple of times since the West Brom game where he went there, was probably our best player on the night, really good. And then I think that's
Watford. Sort of, did he come on?
Started at Watford. Taken off at half time and was
stopped at half time, wasn't he? Yeah.
But yeah, since that West Brom game, we've not seen him play. Well, have we effectively, which was sort of right start of November, wasn't it? So we've got a real, it's been a long time since he's been here for one reason or another.
Yeah. Carnival Nations repeated his question. I'm happy to put it to the guys again. Obviously concerned by the situation, Joe. Are we at risk of putting too much expectation on Al Hamady at 21, not having played at this level? I mean, only if another striker doesn't come in, but still Jackson here, still Broadhead here.
I think it's a club issue because ultimately if we get another striker in, then there's not too much pressure on Heaton. If we don't, we all know that sort of as well as Jackson's done, he's a makeshift striker at this level and he's not the guy to lead a promotion charge for us. Broadhead, again, he's not really a striker in the system we want to play. Yeah, I'm sure there's certain games like Leicester where he'll do okay coming on for half an hour. But yeah, if we are left with just Al Hamady as basically a recognised nine, then it is heaping a lot of pressure on him. And I do fear for him if he doesn't start well in that, fans could get on his back and things. So yeah, it's really, really up to the club to make sure that the squad building doesn't heap too much pressure on him.
Yeah. And you know they'll handle him. They'll handle him right. You know that. Yeah, it's one of, you know, you can see in his comments about coming to Ipswich and the club and the ethos around it that, you know, that McKenna will handle him right.
Yeah, and he would have known there would be pressure going into it as well. He talked about
absolutely
it
right. Yeah,
in his interview.
Well, you know, it comes with a 21-year-old, whatever. Currently, you know, transfers from League Two with a seven figure price tag. Yeah, pressure certainly goes with it,
and probably easier for him to have picked a team not challenging for promotion as well. You know, that's another added dimension to the mix as well. But it feels like his attitude is right, having heard from him. And yeah, Joe, what was the name of the podcast that you recommended before? Was it Leave No? Oh, you're on mute, mate.
Leave No Doubt. It's
Leave
called.
No Doubt. We'll retweet it later on as well. But yeah, I started to listen to that as well, and definitely sounds like he's got a really great attitude and yeah, heads screwed on, as they say. Jules asking about left back coming in. A lot of rumours flying around. And Eric, what do you think about the Johnson rumour? I assume it's Marvin Johnson and not any other Johnsons. Dave, are you expecting Marvin Johnson? We'll chuck a bit more money at Sheffield Wednesday, make that happen, won't we?
I think we perhaps will. Yeah, that sounds like it's quite a way down the line, doesn't it? So yeah, I think that's certainly more than possible, I think.
Yep. And I'll come to this one from Norman as well. And Norman's mentioned the name that I was I can't help but, in terms of trying to avoid the mistakes in the past, Gassana had me definitely. There's a little bit of sense around that signing, not maybe as much this because we pursued it statistically, obviously a high performing player at League Two, but I'm pretty certain Gassana had me was a high prospect player as well. But Norman's asking about whether Hadme and Jackson will leave in the summer. I guess it kind of depends if we bring in Gallagher permanently, doesn't it?
It feels like Jackson's sort of Ipswich career probably will come to an end this summer, just because we've probably outgrown him as a club, and he's never let us down and done really well, but we probably will be able to get better than him for on that side of it, which is, I think, like I say, he's done a good job, and I think he'll be sort of a good signing for somebody else probably at this level now, where before you wouldn't have said that. And but I think Hadme still might even have a year or two left on his contract, and he was picked up almost, he was a real punt, wasn't he, very last day of the window. I think that was the first time we even engaged with him and Burton to sign him. It wasn't like this, where we've had weeks and weeks of build up, right, to have had a lot of chats done. That was very much we need a striker desperately who's available. Yeah, and he played well against us the week before, 150 grand, 200 grand, so it was a small fee, and we got him up here, and he seems like he's done well enough at Cambridge, but he's picked up a bad injury. But I guess he's probably one that you try and get a loan at maybe the top end of League One next year to see if you can help bring up and bring his value up with him. But, yeah, I don't think he's got much of an Ipswich Town future, though.
No. He came with same day as Kamara, didn't he?
Yes. Graham has asked about that as well, yeah. Graham asked about Kamara. Is he still our player? Yeah, he's on loan at Charlton, but injured again.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, there's a player who's just, yeah.
I don't know why I'm coming to you on this, Dave, because your glass is half empty on this. Any wild card signings that you foresee? Any,
who knows?
Numbers you want to pluck out of thin air?
No,
I could give you £5 million and it didn't affect FFP to sign someone from another club, who'd you be signing, regardless of whether we could get it done, just hypothetically?
Let me think about that.
Joe, you can think about that one as well if you want. I'll come back to you on that one.
£5 million,
mate. It's probably gonna be a forward, isn't it? Let's be honest. But I'll put the question to the chat as well. Give me some names. £5 million tight. You don't have to spend it all. You can bank I'd let you bank the surplus if you want for the summer window as well. But yeah, give me some names of types of players that you'd be looking for.
I think one of the points that they made on the NTT20 pod today, talking about Al Hamady, was that there's just such a dearth of these strikers, not just in the UK, but across Europe, even throughout the world, even, of these guys that have that profile that can play up front on their own effectively, because they've got the physicality, they've got the pace, they've got the running power. And it's not just a goal. It's not just goals, really. A lot of the players, there's not many of these number nine types that score a lot of goals. When you look at the top scorer charts, they're mostly wide forwards, tens. Same for us. Like, our goal threat is sort of Connor Chaplin, Nathan Broadhead, as opposed to George Hurst, isn't it? So, and like I say, if someone can give you goals as well, they are real unicorn players, aren't they?
Yeah, and I think, having thought about my question myself, I don't know, you can get, I'm not even sure Portsmouth would accept $5 million for Colby Bishop
right now, would they?
It is a really difficult price point there I've given you there, but stick with it. Jack, evening Jack. Gallagher scored and didn't celebrate. Is it reading too much into it to suggest he's placed the move? Wishful. Yeah, why not, Jack? 2+2
he's in.
Whatever we want. He's coming.
We spoke about Corey Woodrow. He's been spoken about, hasn't he?
And there you go.
He scored the winner at
Did he Everton, did he?
Yeah, Goodison, didn't he? Yeah.
He broke his hand though as well.
Oh, did he break his hand as well? Christ. Yeah. Oh, he's out. Yeah, he's out. So he's someone, but yeah, he's now gone. Yeah, that Poku, I saw Norman just mention that Poku from Peterborough. Yeah, he's always looked the part. So was the other guy that was not Clark Harris, the other double barrel Mason, whatever he's
Ephraim Clark.
Yeah, Mason Clark. Yeah, he always looks decent.
Do you reckon we could get Ellis Sims for $5 million? Probably not, because Coventry spent about $7 million, didn't they? Yeah.
I think they only paid $3 million, I think, up front. I think a lot of that is if they get promoted, it gets up there. But
I'd be tempted to rekindle that one.
I think probably Jordan.
They're not going to sell to us, are they?
I think probably Jordan Whittaker would go for perhaps more than $5 million now.
What about Morgan Whittaker?
I was like, yeah, Morgan Whittaker. Who did I say?
You said Jordan, but that's
Jordan. Even Morgan, yeah,
It runs in the family, doesn't it? Romeo just rubbing our noses at it. Brooks on loan to Soton, quite a squad there. Yeah, I'll piss off Southampton.
That's a hell of a sign. I rate that guy.
Just piss off.
Brilliant player. Hell of a sign.
What else have we got here? Here we go, Matt. Don't think it's business sense to have three players signed long term for the same position at the start of next season, either wage or fee wise. Any further striker to his point needs to come in. Coming in needs to be a loan, unless to the point we made before, you let two of them go, don't you? I mean, if Jackson and Hadmi, as we say, disappear, then, and you accept that Al Hamadi is a developing player as well, doesn't feel too bad, does it? I think Al Hamadi can play wide as well, can't he?
I guess the sort of ultimate hope is that you get promoted this year. Al Hamadi has a good half season, scores 5 or 6 goals, and enough to sort of earn you a £2 million loan fee from a championship club next season while we're off swanning it up in the Premier League, and he can then score 25 goals on loan in the championship next season and then come up and play for us in the Premier League the year after.
Makes sense, doesn't
it? That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Martin asks, keep Baggett and Humphreys as they don't count in the 25. Dave, you're keeping those two?
I think we will now. Yeah. Unless, again, something will happen. Unless something's
Baggett's
been going on.
Been away, hasn't he? So I don't think anyone be looking at him.
I see Humphreys staying, yeah.
I guess if we do get in another left back like Marvin Johnson, there's limited scope for Humphreys to get any game time in the second half of the season. So if you could get a good loan lined up for him where he's going to play a lot, someone mentioned to me Bristol Rovers might be interested in him. So that would maybe be a decent move under Matt Taylor there.
Yep. Simo, a lot of fans worry on Hamadi's age. What, Al Hamadi, we just call him, there's going to be different variations of his name. Let's get it right. Al Hamadi. What about Sarmiento? He's 21.
No, well, he's not our player, though, is he?
Well, exactly. Well,
to be fair,
I think he's making the point impact-wise.
What a player, potentially. Yeah, crikey. But
I think it's an interesting point, though, because Sarmiento's played, let me just look it up, 225 minutes for Brighton. That's his senior football career before he went to West Brom this year, where if Al Hamadi was coming to us on loan from Brighton, he'd be seen as a sort of a better prospect than, because we're signing from Wimbledon, even though we've invested like £1.5 million quid of our own money to get him out of there. So yeah, no, it is interesting on that side. He's an international. He's got good calibre on that side. And yeah, good point that.
Yep. Jack, has there ever been a striker born who can swim faster than a shark? No. Strikers work 16. Yeah, he's wearing number 16 shirt. He's saying Marcus Benton. Was Priskin 16 or was he 17?
Priskin was, yeah.
Was he? Okay. It's not a particularly notable striking number. It's probably a question for the chat, who have got the internet right in front of them. Joe's off already. I'll be pitching questions for Dave while Joe looks up every
of all our
gone.
Yeah, Marcus Bent, always like Marcus Bent's quality, wasn't he, Bent?
I've just got one of all our squad numbers. I just need to try and find it.
There we go. We'll keep going. Martin puts this to you, Dave, or I'm putting it to you. Junks Clark Harris for $500,000. No,
it's obviously something not quite right there, is
that
it?
That ship sailed, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, how someone's stock has fallen in 12 months perhaps this time? Crikey, this time last year, he was absolutely on fire. So yeah, there's something not quite right, I think, there, off the pitch perhaps more than anything.
And I mentioned,
it's just crazy that he's won back-to-back golden boots in League One. Like the last, I know Chaplin won it joint for him, but the last two seasons he won the golden boot, and he was sort of maybe Bristol Rovers, maybe for Charlton. Obviously, Dara's tried to play his hand and just get a fee for him, but it just hasn't worked at all, has it?
No. Odd. Yeah, it's really odd.
I mentioned Colby Bishop. So does George. I think probably now, it's a gamble having two unproven strikers at this level, isn't it? I mean, Bishop's probably a little bit more established.
Well, yeah, Bishop obviously a little bit more established and score goals in a higher division, obviously, than Al Hamady. So, yeah, there's your 5 million. We'd probably get some change for Colby Bishop, wouldn't we, though? We'd probably get a bit of
if
change.
If Portsmouth let it happen,
If Portsmouth let it happen, yeah. Yeah.
Similar non-league trajectory, though. Leamington and others, didn't they? So interesting
Leamington,
there.
Of course. If
we're looking for an impact, we have had two loney strikers wearing the number 16 shirt. Both made a good impact. David McGoldrick, when he first came across after Coventry.
Let's try and guess the other one, Joe. Quiz question. Come on. Give us the era.
2014-15 season. Scored some important goals.
Noel Hunt?
Noel Hunt. Yeah, well, Chatler wasn't a striker.
Although when he scored his first goal, he didn't have a number on his back, did he? He just had a great shirt.
That's a great shirt.
Like a fan that came on.
I celebrated that one from Charlton Corporate Hospitality and we were told off.
Did you? Were you really? Yeah.
And then one person said, I would have done it too if I was you. But yeah, we got chastised. Word of the day. There you go. Pete Girls, I hear Benzema's in settled. Paul Whitmore, O'Hare from Cov. I mean, now a contract, but he's really? Probably...
Was he that good at Portman Road? I mean, he's ripping it up now. I thought he was okay at Portman Road. I wouldn't say he was...
Shankland, I think people talk about what's his spell? I've forgotten his first name. Shankland, isn't it?
Lawrence Shankland.
Yeah. Pete's just chucking the trivia at us. Aguero was 16, apparently. There you go. I think we're good. Final questions or shout outs? Final thoughts on Ali Al Hamady signing from AFC Wimbledon, undisclosed fee, believed to be 7 figures, 4.5 year contract. Number 16 shirts hopefully makes an appearance, at least from the bench, on Saturday against Preston. As we mentioned before, if more business gets done in the next few days, notable business as well, we will react to it if we've got the personnel to do so. Otherwise, join us on Thursday for at least one podcast. It might be two. Blimey, spoiling you we are. Make sure you subscribe because you'll get all of this great content straight into your feed on YouTube. Do give us a thumbs up as well if you're still here. We appreciate you. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on your Monday evening when you could have been watching BBC Wales and scouting Sam Gallagher. So we appreciate that. Join us, as I said, for the flagship show Sunday. And if you head over to Telegram as well, free trial 2 weeks, bluemondayotc.co.uk is the link over there. There are people chatting about transfer stuff all day. It's tedious. It's stupid. I can't abide it. On the evening of the first, it's gone. It's gone. It's lockdown and match day chat is taking its place. But if that's very much up your street, come and join the folks over there. A lot of fun going on there. And we also have a giveaway on Telegram as well, a Kieran McKenna print as well. So plenty of reasons to join us on Telegram, not least because Dave and Joe show their head every now and then as well, which is great. Last thoughts from you guys, I guess, on Ali Al Hamady signing from AFC Wimbledon. We'll start with Dave.
Yeah, very positive for me. As we said, comes with a little bit of pressure on the lad, but hearing him speak, and obviously seemingly a very mature head on a 21-year-old, so yeah, really excited and looking forward to seeing him get the winner at Preston off the bench.
There you go, Joe.
Yeah, and to repeat an earlier message, the sort of Leave No Doubt podcast was great to listen to him. And there was also some YouTube stuff with the Iraq Football Podcast, I think it's called, where they had a little meet there. Yeah, only sort of 10 minute videos, two or three of those. All really good stuff. And there's plenty to go out and see about him. He's got a great story and he sounds like he's so determined to make it work. So I'm looking forward to seeing that winner at Deepdale on Saturday as well.
and worth adding as well, it's a great point, the Iraq Football Podcast. I think we've retweeted them earlier. Check out Blue Monday ITC on X or Twitter. A lot of great stuff. We retweeted a video by Luke Penning as well. Plenty of stuff there. Worth mentioning, similar situation to El Kumbaga. Obviously, first Iraqi player in the championship. Definitely the first Iraqi to play for Ipswich, I'm pretty certain. So that's got a lot of attention and interest, isn't it, from that community? It's been a challenging story for a few decades, and when people do well, communities gravitate towards focal points like footballers, don't they? So there's a good angle to it there as well. It'd be interesting to see how that happens.
I mean, you can see a film. Should he end up ripping it up in the Premier League? You can see a film script, can't you?
There you go. Who's playing him? Who's playing him? We don't know. Folks, thank you so much for joining us. And we will see you Thursday at the very least, if not before on Telegram. I'm going to do the transfer alert. I forgot to do it at the start. Here's our transfer alert. There you go. Ali Al-Hamadi signs for Ipswich Town. Hoping for more bodies in the building before Thursday. Thanks, everyone, for watching, and we'll see you soon.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nuggets and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.